Hey, you know, I'm not saying I'm content or satisfied, but you know, we did the best of what we had. You know, I mean, no story in the world could end up the way it is, other than hip hop. You know, from the way it started to all the people that added on to the story as the days go by, and it's a beautiful story, and it's an American story. Like, you know, people try to look at it, oh yeah, you know, it was from the hood and we. It's not necessarily we. It started with three crews, but that could only happen in America. You know, for it to come from nothing to now, you got people all over the world that's using hip hop as their voice. The only thing, you know, that throws me off is that, you know, you got a lot of these young dudes, you know, and they could say anything they want to say, and then it comes down to what's going on.
Well, after the Message album, that's when Chaka Khan, I Feel For You, got put out. That was in 84. And we interviewed Chaka Khan not too long ago. And, you know, she talked about how this is the first time that hip hop and R&B actually came together on a song. And this was a monster song. I remember this was like one of the big breakdance songs when it came out. You know, and the whole Chaka Khan, like that stuck with her forever to this day. That song ended up winning two Grammys.
Yeah, Song of the Year, American Music Award, Song of the Year. It's a huge, super huge song, but the biggest record that I was on.
Oh yeah.
I didn't meet Chaka Khan until we was on the, because when we did the song, they just flew my voice on the track. So I'd never met Chaka Khan. As a matter of fact, I never even heard the finished song. I was in a cab coming uptown from the Roxy, and I was high as hell. And I heard the song, and I thought I was dreaming, like, you know, because I was, you know, I was so high, you know what I mean? I heard the song on the radio. And that's the first time that I heard the song in its completion. Went on to be a great song, you know.
Hell of a song.
Yeah.
Hell of a song.
Yeah. And that was my best year, 1984. That was Beach Street, White Lines, Chaka Khan.
Right. And I was about to say that next. Then the Beach Street movie came out right around the same time.
Right.
And I remember seeing that in the theater. And that, at the time, was the greatest hip hop movie, period. Not to say that there weren't other ones. I mean,
Right.
Breakin' was cool, but it was more of kind of like a
Yes, yeah, like
lighthearted.
yeah, West Coast kind of thing. And
Yeah. You know, Wild Style was cool, but it was more of a low budget kind of thing. I mean, Beat Street was a theatrical release, higher budget film, and a very serious film at that, you know, with the main guy, Ramon, getting killed, you know. Trying to chase down the dude that was, you know, Spit, who was like messing up all his murals. And then you guys see, you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five come out at the end. And I guess the main actor was actually rapping, you know, was lip syncing your lines, right?
Right. Because I'd actually had wrote the song for him, but he never could get it. So they had to use my voice, and that's the only reason why we got in the movie, because he couldn't get the song, which was kind of like a hard song to do. I never did that song on stage because it's just a lot to do if you're moving around or whatever. But that's how we got in the movie, and the only reason why I wrote the song is, you know, we had a conversation with what's my man's name that produced the movie? I'm having a senior moment.
Mario Van Peebles?
No. That was that's that was the guy. Oh my God, what's my man's name? That Harry Belafonte. There you go.
Oh, okay, yeah, Harry
So
Belafonte.
having
Oh,
a
okay.
conversation with Harry Belafonte, and that was what was the inspiration of the song, of how Beat Street came out. Because he, you know, it's Harry Belafonte. He has, you know, spectacular conversation, you know, just a, you know, the history of the whole thing, of who he was, and I think Beat Street, I think it was a well-produced movie. I didn't actually, I'm not going to say I hated it, but I didn't actually like it, really.
Really? I loved it.
I mean, it was definitely a good movie. It was produced good, but compared to the other movies, like you said, it was the most complete movie out of all. It had, you know, real B-boys. It was more indicative of what hip hop really is compared to the other movies.
I agree. Well, a few years later, there was a battle with you and KRS-One at the Latin Quarter. And I've heard KRS-One's version of this battle. What's your version of this battle?
It wasn't a battle. And here's my whole thing. If me and KRS would have had a battle in the Latin Quarters, why is he the only one telling that story? That would have been a legendary battle. And it was people there. I'm not saying nothing happened. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we never battled. Because if we would have had a battle in front of, and it was a full house of people, why is he the only one telling that story? You and nobody else have never heard one other person say anything about that other than him.
Well, what he said was that he was performing that night and you came on stage.
He's a liar.
And kind of grabbed the mic. And you did a routine. Okay, according to him, and you guys can look up the video, it's online. According to him, you kind of did a routine, but not really battling him directly. And I guess when it was his turn, he kind of went at you directly. And, you know, that was the overall vibe. But the way he described it is you sort of crashed his set. Is the way he described it.
None of that never happened. He's a liar. And like I said, the proof is always in pudding. If me and KRS would have had a battle, nobody in the audience is telling that story. Nobody that was the DJ is telling that story. Nobody that was a bouncer told that story. Nobody that was a bodyguard told that story. Only him. Only him.
So what happened?
So, in other words, the battle was in his head. That's where
there was no battle
was.
At all.
No, we never. If we would have had a battle, I would have won. If we'd had a battle, the battle was in his head. Something did happen, but nothing what he said happened. And what actually happened is nothing for me to speak about because it was nothing. So the battle was in
there
his head. I don't know what to
there
say.
You have it.
Like I said, if me and KRS would have had a battle, shouldn't that have been the talk of the town? Why isn't it? Why wasn't it? If me and KRS would have had a battle, wouldn't that have been the talk of the town? Wouldn't that have been a historical moment in hip hop that everybody would know? Oh yeah, the night that KRS and Melly Mel had a battle, wouldn't that be the case? He's the only one that tells that story. So the battle was in his head. If we think he battled, we battled. I don't know what to say.
All right, well, it is what it is then.
Yeah, I ain't mad at the guy, but you know, we had a battle in his head.
Well, a couple of years later, you worked with Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
You were on the Back in the Black album and Cue, the autobiography of Quincy Jones, and you won a Grammy for both of those. Because you never actually got your Grammy for the Chaka Khan record, right?
I don't think I'm having too much of good luck with the Grammys.
Well, did you get those actual physical Grammys?
No.
Grammys is doing you dirty.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. And then they had the Grammy Hall of Fame this year that got canceled. We were supposed to be in the Lifetime Achievement Awards for the Grammys. That got canceled. So we having a bad history with the Grammys.
Well, in 1992, there was a celebrity boxing match. And Rap-A-Lot got called. And there was a pre-match with Freddie Fox and this rapper named Dopey from The Terrorists, who was on Rap-A-Lot. And Freddie Fox won that fight.
Yeah, Freddie Fox.
Then
Freddie Fox could actually fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Freddie Fox got hands on him. I wouldn't want to wouldn't want to get in the ring with Freddie. And then there was the match with you and Willie D.
Right.
And I looked that video up online. From your point of view, how did that go?
Well, I mean, obviously, I lost. And, but what actually happened was we bumped heads. We both fell, and then when I got back up, I was super woozy, and then they stopped the fight. So it wasn't much of a fight. Like, it ain't like he, you know, ain't like I was bleeding or anything like that. But, yeah, we bumped heads, and then we both fell.
I watched the video, and I'm actually friends with Willie D. So me and Willie got on the phone this morning, and we talked about that. He denied the whole head bumping. He did. He did fall. He said he slipped, but he said that there was no head bumping.
Well, either way, if he slipped, we both went there. If you look at the video, it's on the video.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, he didn't slip. You know, he could say, I can say I slipped. After I ran into his hand, I can say I slipped. But I mean, either way, it happened. It happened. I mean, you win some, you lose some. I mean, I don't...
It is what it is. And, you know, yeah. Willie D's no slouch. Willie D's a tough guy.
Yeah, he could actually box, too. I mean, I don't know. Like, I looked at it about maybe 3 weeks ago. Somebody posted it on Facebook or something like that. And yeah, it's there. Didn't last long. And, you know, I lost.
Hey, man, to get in the ring with someone, you know, and I've boxed before, that's not an easy task.
Yeah.
It looks easy from the outside. It is not easy when you're actually in the ring.
No, it's not. I mean, and actually, I was in the best shape that I ever was in when we did that. And, that's how it turned out. And that's why I say to this day, the average person don't got around in them. All this tough guy shit that people's talking, you know, hey, listen, in the right situation, I would climb in the ring right now because, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, every day is a fight, you know? So if you can't, if you ain't willing to fight, you don't need to be around. You know, just like how they, was ragging on Nate Robinson. He lost the fight, okay? You know, okay, you could laugh at him, but when you get in the ring, something might be funny that would happen to you if you're brave enough to get in there. You know what I mean? It's that's just the way things happen. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it takes a lot to get into a ring. And as you can see with the Nate Robinson thing, if you don't spend a lot of time in the ring preparing for that, if you get in the ring with someone who has, you're going to be at a very big disadvantage.
Even what happened to me? What if that same thing would have happened now? It was just no real social media and shit like that then.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? For it to be, you know, so, you know, but if that same thing would have happened now, I would have been the meme for Nate Robinson. I would have been.
Slow down. What happened to Nate Robinson is not what happened to you. Let me tell you. Nate Robinson was asleep.
I think
he's still in the ring right now. I don't know if they've ever gotten him out of there. I mean, he was asleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what happened to you? I mean, listen, it was a knockout. It happens. It is what it is. But what happened to Nate is not what happened to you. So let me just kind of clear that up. Okay. And then in 2007, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five became the first rap group to ever be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
How did that feel?
It didn't really have any real significance until years later, like it, you know, like 3 years later, and then how people would approach me, you know, because for anything else with the Grammys, okay, yeah, it was a good show, boo. But for years later, you know, people would approach me and congratulate me on being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I thought when it first happened that it was just like something like, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going to try to get a come up off of hip hop, basically. And we didn't get in because of us. I'm thinking that we got in because of, you know, like, a guy, you know, the Jay-Z's, they want them in, but you have to start somewhere. See what I'm saying? And the obvious choice was us because of how long we was in the game and, you know, the records that we put out and the caliber of records it was. But I just thought that they were just going to, you know, they just trying to capitalize off of hip hop. Not for us necessarily, but for everybody that they would want in after us, you know, the Biggies and Jay-Z's and Eminem, you know what I mean? We was just, you know, you have to start from somewhere. So they started with us. But then years later, I seen that it was, you know, it was a lot of prestige in it, even though I didn't think, you know, I didn't think they wanted Grandmaster Flash in the Fear Five in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They just wanted hip hop in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But you know, at the end of the day, it's a great achievement.
Well, years later, in 2016, when NWA was about to get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Gene Simmons from Kiss basically said that rappers shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He said, when Led Zeppelin gets into the Rap Hall of Fame, then rappers should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. I mean, but that's his opinion. And, you know, and he's welcome to it. But music is music. I mean, you know, and it's all in the same circle, because and especially with hip hop, hip hop is in all branches of music. Like how people, this is what people say about hip hop. This is one of the biggest misconceptions of hip hop. They say that anybody other than a black person that do hip hop is culturally misappropriating hip hop. When hip hop was the biggest cultural misappropriation of ever, we used everything, all musics. It was no, because it's no hip hop music. It's hip hop music now. The origins of hip hop music is no hip hop music. So anything could be hip hop. So for hip hop to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and just like Run DMC didn't, it wasn't an original concept to do Aerosmith. We was doing Aerosmith from the gate. Bob James, you know, anything. Bob Marley, we played slow jams in the clubs. We used anything that you could play in a party. We used it. So that's one of the biggest strengths of hip hop. That it could be anything. Anything could be hip hop. I could take a Madonna song and put a rap on it. It's hip hop.
Huh? So you're saying hip hop itself is a culture.
It's cultural misappropriation to the highest degree. Because we used everything. It wasn't like, okay, we just going to use funk music, but we ain't going to use jazz. Anything that had that little beat in it, we used it. The Mexican, you know, that was like a Western song. We used it. Bongo Rock, which is one of the biggest hip hop songs ever. That's not a hip hop song. That was, I don't know what you would call it, the genre that it is, but it wasn't hip hop. We just said it was hip hop. So, you know, for people, and see, and that's for people that want to, you know, they want to politicize what hip hop is. You know, yeah, well, this culture, Bruno Mars is misappropriating the culture. No, hip hop is misappropriated culture. Hip hop is a vacuum. It sucked everything in. That's what hip hop really is.
Well, I mean, when you talk about people who get called a culture vulture, Macklemore is really at the top of the list, and he's the one that actually reached out to you to be in the song Downtown,
right,
along with Kool Moe Dee and Grandmaster Caz.
Right.
No one else.
No. In my opinion, what's going on right now in hip hop, and this is all African Americans, biggest culture vultures in the world. They sold hip hop out to the 100,000th degree. They sold it out. Because hip hop is bigger than the dude on the corner. It's way bigger than that. And then they just trying to make it so that hip hop is just some garden variety nigga shit. Like, you know, like, oh yeah, you ain't a real nigga unless you a street nigga. You know, That destroyed the culture. It ain't no more DJ, like the importance of a DJ. Like the DJ, they even promote it. Like a DJ, he's on some tough guy shit. You know, where to where it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be some of all of it, basically. Instead of just, okay, yeah, well, this is, you know, now this is what it's about. And the way it's working out is not working out all that great for hip hop. If you could even call some of it hip hop, because they said what it was when they first put it out. Gangsta rap was gangsta rap. They didn't say it was hip hop. It went in the pot to legitimize it. Trap music, they said what it was. Drill music, they said what it was. They said exactly what it was, and then they put it in the pot of hip hop to legitimize it. So now all of these dudes got a platform in hip hop, but you know who don't got a platform in hip hop? The real hip hoppers. They're like, yo, man, fuck them.
There was a clip, I think, from a TV show where you said you could easily beat Eminem in a battle.
Easy. It would be the easiest thing I ever did. Easy.
Okay, explain.
Because at the end of the day, mechanically, technically, he's a great rapper, but I'm the greatest. I know how to write it. When I put it down, it's going to stay down. It would be the easiest thing I ever did. Easy. See, when people bring that up, just say you can't beat Eminem. Just say that. But I've been doing this all my life. It would be the it would be the easiest thing. And I don't even write like I used to write. I wrote this. No, nothing like that. This is my destiny. Everybody else that's out there rapping, y'all trying to do something that I already did 40 years ago. And like I said, it would be the easiest thing I ever did. Easy. Mainly because everybody out there gonna say, no, that's impossible. He can't. No, you can't. It's just like with all the 50 great MC thing. If you think it's 50 great MCs, you're not one of them. If you can count 50 guys, it ain't even 50 great niggas. How's it gonna be 50 great MCs? Great. That changed territory. It's not there. It's just 50 guys that can rap. And the 50 guys are guys that made records. So that's not of all times. That's when records came out. You see what I'm saying? Like my mechanics and my dynamics and my knowledge of what rap is all about, it supersedes anything that goes on out there. You know, but it's just that piece. You see, this is what people are looking at. Just this old motherfucker, how he gonna beat so-and-so? Easy, because I'm an old motherfucker. I've been doing it longer. I'm gonna do it better than you. I'm gonna come off better. And that's my whole thing with all this hip hop shit. I don't pray. But the one thing that I did pray, just stand me up next to these guys. Then you're gonna see who they are. Then you're gonna see who they ain't. You're gonna see who they not. And I ain't even gonna have to say a rhyme. Just stand me there. Then you're going to see a legend compared to who you think a legend is. Then you're going to see a true legend. And all I got to do is stand there. Because, like I said, my mechanics and my knowledge of hip-hop, my delivery, whatever I'm going to bring to the table is top-notch. They don't make them like me no more when it come down to being an MC. Even when they say what a great MC is, they never even put in crowd response. So you're going to have a great MC, but he got a hype man. He can't hype the crowd up himself. He need a hype man to hype the crowd up. But they don't put that in the equation. You see what I'm saying? And these are the people that are supposed to be the expert. And it's 50 great MCs? 50? Come on. It might be four if you're talking about true greatness. Maybe.
Okay, who are the four?
Me and whoever else you want to put behind it. As a matter of fact, don't even put me in that equation. I'm somewhere else, and then you could start with whoever you want to start with. Because it's all up to too much subjection. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever a person is thinking in their head. That's their top 10. Like, and you have like Jay-Z and one of the guys from that Atlanta group. It's too much subjection in it. It's not no one. This is what the greatest MC of all times is. And we talking all times. Everybody else, I'm talking all time. Everybody else is talking about who made records. Nobody that made a gangster rap record or a trap rap record or any of that could have went back when we was rapping and got away with that shit without getting their scalp took. It would have never.
Well,
happened.
You mentioned Rakim. You mentioned that you have a lot of respect for Rakim.
Yeah. He's one of the rappers that could have rapped back when we was rapping. He definitely is, and he changed the game. He changed. You know, we all had to start rapping different. When we heard Rakim, I never had to rap different for nobody else. When I heard Eminem, I could rap the same. The game didn't change. It wouldn't stop nothing. You see what I'm saying? That's greatness. See, they toss around greatness too much. In order to be great, you had to have changed something. If you just made a song, you know, you can call Eminem a great rapper. If he was so great, then why it ain't 50 white rappers? Why ain't nobody saying, well, who's the top 50 white rappers? Because it didn't change nothing. I'm not saying he's not a good rapper, but I'm saying good rappers. When I started MCing, and when I said I was an MC, how many people said that they was an MC after I said I was an MC? That's great. Now, like I said, where's the top 50 rappers? It's not. Because
well, I think Tupac, a lot of people got influenced by Tupac.
Yeah.
A lot of people are still doing their best Tupac imitations these days.
Yeah. So now we only got two guys.
Okay, so we got two. I think Biggie would have been great in any era.
He couldn't have made it back then because he talked.
You don't think so? With the rhyme play and the way he put his words together.
If he's saying what he's saying right now, that's what I'm talking about. Back then, when it's only guys that rapped and did hip hop, and then it's all the tough guys. You couldn't say that around them. You couldn't talk about selling drugs around them. They'd probably kill you on that. If you got on the mic talking about who you're gonna kill, and there's only dancers and killers out there, it's, you know, real street guys, and you got on the mic talking about who you're gonna kill, and it's not like you got your little crew and your little entourage and all that. The same guys that's holding you down is the guys that's over there. Is the guys that we made up the shout out to placate them. And motherfucker come up and pull his gun out and grab me by the back of my neck. Yo, shout out so and 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 so. And then what is these niggas gonna do when a nigga do that to them? What are they gonna do? Except for invent the shout out like we did. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It was no separation now. It was a definite separation. We was younger kids, and you had guys that were 5 or 6 years older than us, stick up kids, henchmen, and all that kind of shit. And those were the guys that was out there. So now you get on the mic, yeah, I'm a woo woo, and I'm a blah, and my nine. That wasn't gonna work. I don't care who you was. I don't care who you think they was. It wasn't going to work because these dudes, that was who they really are. It's just like the dudes that's on the mic right now. That's not always the real dudes, but they talking about a real dude. And it wasn't no separate. It wasn't like we had friends. Well, it wasn't like we was friends with them like that. Like I said, if somebody pull a gun out on whoever, and tell them who to shout out, and you don't shout it out right, what you think was going to happen to you? then? What you think was going to happen to them then?
Yeah. No, I feel you.
So all that greatest of all time shit, it don't mean shit to me, because I know none of these dudes now would have been able to do it back then. Rakim would have been able to do it. Like somebody like Kane would have been able to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you've said that the Jay-Z is overrated.
I think a lot of rappers are overrated. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you said that you know, as a businessman, he's phenomenal. But as a rapper, you wouldn't put him in your top list.
No. Because see, the main problem that I got with dudes like with a lot of these dudes, when you made it, you made it. Now you out. Forget the street guy act. You're not street like that. I'm not even a street guy. I'm a hood nigga. I'm not a street nigga because I know I'm not gonna be out on the street like that. And then to take it even a step further, these dudes live in the big houses. They live in the best neighborhoods. It ain't no street dudes around. But you're going to have this street dude think that being on the street is the right thing to do and the right person to be. You got to give the people that's left in the hood something to hold on to make it out the hood. What a lot of this hip hop shit did, it made the ghetto permanent. You ain't supposed to stay there like that. And that's why I say a lot of them is overrated, because what they doing is they selling a product, and then after the product is sold, now they still thinking they got product to sell. And they don't. You live a nice life. You know, if you graduated from college, if you live good, they kids, all of these dudes' kids is never going to see the inside of a jail or the inside of a public school, thank God. But they putting that shit out there for all these kids to do that? Come on. Come on. And all of these things is what the system promotes. To where a good smart kid is a piece of shit, but you know everybody they a little trouble, but you know we can you gonna help a bad kid more than you help a good kid. Like if we got a track team, you helping the slow niggas, the motherfucker that could really run. Oh yeah, you helping these slow niggas. Y'all ain't gonna win. That's why we won't win. We can't.
Well, let me jump to a previous topic, because I just found what I was looking for.
Okay.
So we talked about how gangster rap and NWA kind of changed the direction of hip hop, which you still see to this day. But I actually looked it up. You were the first rapper to actually have a gun on the cover of one of your albums, and that is the Work Party album. I'm going to go ahead and show this to you. That's you holding a gun.
That's not actually a gun. It's like a. It's not a gun. Gun. It's like a fucking space gun or something.
Okay. Okay. So you remember that photo shoot?
Yeah. That was for the album, you know, with the Furious Five album that we did for Overseas. That's legit. That's definitely legit. But I'm saying it's not like it's a 9mm. It's like a fucking space gun or something. It was like a prop. You see, like we look like some fucking Terradome shit. You know, Mad Max or some shit like that. It's, you know, it's a good try though.
Okay. All right. I mean, someone else had mentioned it. Your man who did that.
Yeah,
that,
but that feature. No, that's like
Jaquan literally mentioned it.
No, but that's like. You know, it's like a space gun or some shit. And like I said, that's not what we represent. Our shit is with the highest level of creativity. And a lot that comes out after that is all downhill. It all goes, you know, because like I said, hip hop. And I heard this being said the other day, which I don't agree with. They said hip hop is the music of the streets. It's not. Hip hop is the people's music. It's not the music of the streets. is the music of the streets if you want it to be the music of the streets. But you know, that just that statement in itself, it don't say a lot about hip hop, because you ain't supposed to promote that. And now everybody said, oh yeah, that's how we live. You live how you wanted to live. That's what you do. I'm 59 years old. I never shot nobody. I never stabbed nobody. I walked away from way, way more fights than what I got into. And why? Because that's the right thing to do. If you want to live now, and anybody out there, you could make a choice. You could be a 59 and accomplish something, or you can go burn bright and get killed at the age of 25. And that's on the person. And the lucky ones will be the ones that die. The unlucky ones, they're going to go to jail. They're going to get a football number. And when they come out of jail, they ain't going to have shit. They ain't going to be shit. And then they're going to realize they lost.
Well, what are your feelings when you look back at hip-hop history, the first hip-hop figure to get killed violently was Scott LaRock.
Right.
That happened in the 80s. That was really the only murder that happened in hip hop in the 80s, period.
Right.
You fast forward to 2021 and it happens almost every month. I mean, just recently, Pop Smoke got killed.
No, not
King Von got killed. Mo3 got killed. FBG Duck got killed. I knew three or four. Out of those four, three of them I knew, two of which I've interviewed.
Not every couple.
And this is just recently. And then, of course, Biggie, Tupac, and the list just goes on and on and on. It almost accelerates the later you go into hip hop history. Like, how do you feel about that?
Well, every couple of days now, somebody get killed. It was every month. Now is that I follow that. I go on YouTube. I do my little research on what the temperature is about what's going on. And I think it's disgraceful. And what's the disgrace is, where's all of these overeducated motherfuckers that psychoanalyze everything, that could trace everything back to some ancient history shit or what happened to, what do they have to say about what's going on with these young men and women? And they have nothing to say about it. It's almost like it don't exist. Where's Black Lives Matter when black people are shooting other black people at the rate and for the reasons that they're shooting each other? And they have nothing to say. But if the same person gets shot by a cop, everybody's out on the streets. Now, see, my whole thing is real simple. If you a kid and if you think that that's the only way that you could come up, with a mic in one hand and a gun in the other, is not going to work out for you. It's not working out for them. You got to choose one. Either you want to be an entertainer and you're going to have to leave some of them tough guys where they belong in the street, or you going to try to take an entertainment situation and take it from street to street to street to street. One of them dudes go and do an interview. They talking more about who they got a beef with. I ain't got to talk about who I got a beef with, because I don't. I ain't got no beef with nobody, because I want to live. But it like I said, all these overeducated, they ain't even addressing the problem. And like I said, it's past every other day, some young dude that call himself a rapper gets killed. And just like even when we did the K-Slay album, 50 guys that was MCs, 40, maybe 45 guys said something about killing somebody in the song. Out of 50 guys. It might have been more than that, because it was 50 guys. But 45 said something about killing somebody. And that translates into those 45 guys inspires, if those 45 guys inspired 5 guys apiece, 10 guys apiece, and so on and so on and so on.
I mean, about a month ago, my name was trending on Twitter because people were blaming me for the rapper Casanova getting locked up. Because in my interview, he talked about how he had stabbed someone in prison. And there was a line about him stabbing someone in prison in his paperwork. Now, he had actually talked about that in a bunch of different interviews, not just mine. And Vlad wasn't even in the paperwork, but everyone started going with the line of Casanova's locked up because of his Vlad interview. But what he talked about was years ago. Casanova got locked up because he kept being allegedly involved in more criminal activities.
But here's the whole thing. It's like I said, you have to choose one. Because these dudes are out, they're out there. Now, they got all this unnecessarily illegal, hectic shit going on when you're supposed to be an MC, you're supposed to be doing music. But now, the rule of the street is stop snitching. So why you keep talking about the shit that you doing? How do you think that that's going to work out for you? If you do a record, you go do a crime, then you do a record about the crime that you did, and then you do a video about the record, about the crime that you did. And then expect for nobody to pay attention to that. When that's the same thing that you want everybody to pay attention to. Look at how much drugs I sell. Look at how much guns I got. Look at how many people I killed. And then you expect for everybody to stop snitching. And then when everybody stops snitching, you snitching on yourself. Because you ain't choosing one. You mean to tell me if you a killer, you want everybody to know that you a killer? A killer. And you got it on the song, and you can't see that this is a setup, because all you got to do is listen to somebody's song and go arrest them. Because either they said they killed somebody or they threatening to kill somebody. Either one of them is a crime.
Right, because, you know, one of our, you know, biggest regular guests, Boosie, he told me flat out in an interview, you cannot be a gangster and a rapper at the same time.
You can't.
And he attempted it, and he ended up on death row over multiple murders. He luckily ended up beating it. But he said for a day and a half, they played his lyrics to the jury from a bunch of different songs saying, he's talking about shooting someone here. Here's his gang affiliation in this song. Here he's talking about beating up and stabbing someone here, et cetera, et cetera. For a day and a half, this mixed race jury got to hear a bunch of these songs as the prosecutor is trying to paint him as a certain type of person. Now, Boosie had a lot of money, and he ultimately, I don't think he was involved in any of it, so he beat the case. But after that, he said, like, yo, I had one foot in the street and one foot in rap, and that shit just does not work out.
It'll never work out. And that's why I don't understand. Like I said, if you're supposed to be a rapper, you should know better. You can't promote that you're a killer. You can't promote that. Now you can make a song if you want to be clever. You can make a song that would sell just as well, but not promoting the fact that you're involved in criminal activity. See, that's what's going wrong. They even the fact that you talk like that, somebody could just trace it back, and even if it ain't you and it's the crew that you with, you still get caught up. It's a conspiracy charge. You can still get caught up. And this is what I don't understand about when they be talking about the criminal justice system, and you want to change the criminal justice system, you got to change the criminals. These guys want to go to jail. They want to go. They're not just snatching dudes off the street. I never been to prison, and it is one reason why is because I never did nothing messed up enough for me to go to prison. I want to stay free. Now, if all your whole little street, like all that whole little street culture thing that they got going, everybody's going to prison. You're not going to be able to keep yourself out of prison because you're going to keep doing criminal shit. And criminals ultimately get caught. The lucky ones get killed. But I would pick death over prison any day. I'm not built for that. I ain't doing all that.
Final question. The thing that you're most known for in hip hop, the rah.
Right.
How did that come about? And can you do a proper version of that?
It actually came about from Tony the Tiger.
I was not ready for that. Okay.
Yeah, when he would say, they're great, and I would go, rah! And that's how it happened.
I never would have guessed that in a million years. Right, there. Have you ever told this story before?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I must have missed it. The famous Melly Mel sound comes from Tony the Tiger.
Tony the Tiger. From
Frosted Flakes cereal.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it. Well, Grandmaster Melly Mel, man, it's an honor to finally really sit down. I've been a fan for over 30 years. And I bought the 12-inch, you know, I bought the album. I bought the 12-inch for White Lines. I bought the 12-inch for The Message. I was introduced to hip hop as a breakdancer through your music. Mm-hmm. And you were the soundtrack to my life during that era, which was a journey that I'm still on today. And I just want to personally thank you for your role in hip hop, because I don't think my life would be as cool as it is these days if it wasn't for hip hop.
And hip hop gave a lot of people great lives, you know, and if they, you know, really understood it and respected that. Because like I said, you always got to leave something for people to pass on. You know what I mean? We did it. You know, not like we wanted to do it, but in the natural circumstance of things, we left something for other people to pass on to somebody else. But you know, now I don't know too much. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, maybe some of these rich dudes and billionaires might have to sit down and, you know, and get a code of ethics going on, because now the inmates are running the asylum, literally, and that's not who we are. You know, they define us. Like, you know, you got, you know, athletes and stars. Yeah, let's go get that bag. What bag? What bag? That's that street shit. Let them have that. Let these kids know it's something else. You know, that's more better down the road than just being, you know, just being from the street. Because I'm from the street, but that shit don't define me. I ain't never wore a pair of Timberlands or the big extra white T-shirt and all that shit. And like I said, and the main thing that you get out of this whole interview, if you see a bunch of niggas doing one thing, do something else. You'll last a lot longer that way. Believe me.
There you go. But at the end of the day, man, you have contributed so much to the art form. You have music that's timeless, that's still being sampled and redone and referenced to this day. And, you know, I think as an artist, you know, like me as a content creator, what I think is I'm trying to create pieces of work that's going to outlast my lifetime.
Right.
That's going to be carried on into future generations. You know, I'm trying to chronicle hip hop and hip hop culture during this era so future generations could go back and learn about this. And what you've done is you've created art that 30, 40 years later, people are still playing. It's still very important, and it's going to continue to be important past your lifetime, right, whenever that may be. And I think that's the ultimate goal for artists, and you've already achieved that multiple times over. So. I'm definitely honored that you've come in to share your story. And, you know, you've told it before, but I think this is going to be your biggest interview in terms of what you've done.
Appreciate you.
No doubt. Until next time.
broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far. Cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dango. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Go to school cause the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool and all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie and run with the creeps. Cause it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart, gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me,
cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man.
A lesson too, because you can't let the streets beat you. Well, a picture can express 1,000 words to describe all the beauty of life you give. And if the world was yours to do over, I know you'd paint a better place to live, where the colors would swirl and the boys and girls can grow in peace and harmony, and where murals stand on walls so grand as far as the eyes are able to see. I never knew art till I saw your face, that there'll never be one to take your place. Each and every time you touch a spray paint can, Michelangelo's soul controls your hands. Then serenades of blue and red, and the beauty of the rainbow fills your head. Crescendo colors playing tune. Man, why oh why you'd have to die so soon? Say it 1, 2, 3, 4. And just let me know what you came here for. And just clap your hands, everybody, and let me know that I'm not alone. And if you knew my man when he was alive, scream it out and say, Ramon. The ashes and dust, the dust, where the good die young is all thy must. Cause that life must live, death must die, and the tears shall fall from the living eye. Tell me who's gonna dream the impossible dream of the beautiful cities and the islands' dreams, when your works of art brought into being all that the ghetto stopped you from seeing. Still life, urban masterpiece, your trademark was written on chains and walls. $1 million gift only God released, huh? And yet you got killed for nothing at all. So after this, there'll be no more hard time, no more bad times, and no more pain, no more chunk change, none of that bull, just movies, museums, and the Hall of Fame. So all you hip-hops, get on up, and let's take it to the top where we belong, cause the age of the Beat Street wave is here. Everybody, let's sing along. Come on, say ho! Oh. Oh. Say ho! Oh. Oh. And to let me know I'm rocking the microphone, in the sand, and the headlines say, man destroys man. Extra, extra, read all the bad news on the wall of peace that everybody would.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is now underway for priority groups. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book your appointment online. If necessary, you can also call 1-877-644-4545. Once you've been vaccinated, it's important to continue to protect yourself by following the basic health guidelines. The vaccine, a safe way to protect ourselves. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
CKUT's 2021 virtual funding drive, Sowing the Seeds of Grassroots Change, came to a close on Sunday, March 28th, and we are overjoyed to let you all know that we've surpassed our initial goal of $25,000 and have raised a little over $30,000 to date. As always, we're accepting donations year-round. Thank you to our listeners for continuing to support grassroots community media. Your donations and support underline our mandate of people-powered radio. If you made a pledge but have not yet paid, please do so by May 1st to be eligible for our prize draw.
We pledge resistance.
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing. On. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news? I'm brought to you live.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Off the Hour, right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are 7 days into the month of April. We're broadcasting from unceded Mohawk and Anishinaabe territory. You're tuned into The Avalanche, a special presentation of CKUT's Community News Department. The Avalanche seeks to cover issues affecting those with disabilities. On today's show, we have an episode of Disability After Dark, featuring an interview with Lucy Dawson. All that, right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. You're listening to The Avalanche, where all abilities are welcome. If you'd like to get involved, you can call 514-448-4041 extension 6788 or email news@ckut.ca. You can also follow us on Twitter at @avalancheckut.